Matthew chapter number 22. I've been doing a series in our church, and I got into this series, and it just seems like it just keeps on going. It wasn't supposed to be a series. It's supposed to be one sermon. But as a pastor, you have the option of making it a series. And the more that I put into this, and the more I studied it, and the longer I studied it, the more I got out of it, the more that it helped me and it benefited me. And so I want to talk to you this week, the Lord willing, on the subject of because you love the Lord. Now, the Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. Can you just stop for a minute before we get into the service tonight and think about this? The God who created everything, a sovereign God who controls everything, everything about us and about our world, He loves us as His children, His sheep, His elect. Now, I can't understand that, but I tell you what, I'm not going to fuss about it. I am so thankful about that, and God knows us better than anybody else knows us, and yet He loves us anyway. Isn't that wonderful? Matthew chapter 22, we'll look at verse number 36. If you're able to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, it's just something that I do. If you'd like to do that, you can stand while we read this verse. We'll have prayer and get right into the message tonight. The Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 36, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," listen, "with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." That's Jesus. That's what "thus saith the Lord" tells us. This is the first and great commandment. And verse 39 says, "And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." But I want us to consider tonight this thing that the Lord has told us, instructed us to do in verse 37. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word and how precious it is to us. We thank You for this time of fellowship, these services. And I pray, Lord, that most of all You might be honored and glorified and exalted and praised because You alone are worthy. We thank You for everyone that's made an effort to be here tonight. And I know some are not able to be here, but I thank You for the ones that are here, that come even in the bad weather and the slick roads, and they're here. And I thank You for these pastors and preachers that are here and their families. And I pray this week that You'll bless all of us as only You can. And we pray that You'll supply every need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus as only You can. And I pray that when we leave this week, that we'll say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. And Lord, we pray that if there's someone that's lost, that they'd be saved. We pray for those of us who are saved, that we'd be drawn to a closer walk with Thee. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we think about this tonight, because we love the Lord, and the Bible says that we should love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. Now, in a church setting, that's easy for us to perhaps think about and to meditate about, pray about. But in our daily lives, how much do we think about that? Number one in our lives, and we know this, that God deserves the preeminence in our lives. He deserves place number one. And as we think about loving God with all of our heart, and you know, I say this to preachers too, I think about this. Do I really love God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul? I want to. Can I say that to you tonight? I want to do that. I desire to do that. I think about it. I meditate about it. I pray about it. And yet I find myself many times wondering, do I really love God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and all of my soul? And yet I'm preaching to people, instructing people of all ages, backgrounds, that this is what we're to do. Now let me ask you a question tonight, a very simple question. What causes us to do what we do? Now I think there's two things. One of those things is responsibility or obligation. I believe as a child of God that we're obligated, we're responsible to serve God and to live for God and to love God with all of our heart and our mind and our soul. I believe that. I believe there's responsibility that comes with the privilege of being a child of God. I really believe that. And I believe that we ought to serve God out of responsibility and out of obligation. I looked it up in the dictionary, and obligation and responsibility go hand in hand. And I really believe that because we are saved, because we do know the Lord, that out of responsibility that we have as a child of God, we ought to serve Him. But I want to tell you this. When it gets past the responsibility, and you do it because you love God, it's much sweeter. You see, the Bible talks about us going the first mile because we're asked in Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. But it says the second mile. Go the second mile. If He asks you to go a mile, go to the second mile. You know what the difference is? The first mile, we're obligated. That's our responsibility. But the second mile, we go because we want to. Now, you know what you do? You do what you enjoy, don't you? Don't you? You do the things you like to do. You eat what you like to eat, don't you? I mean, that's what people do. We have enough of that old flesh in us, I guess, that we desire some things. And I'm going to talk to some this week about those things, maybe tonight a little bit. But we do what we want to do. We things we like to do, we really put everything we've got into it. I noticed some people in our Christian school, and we have some ball teams, and that's certainly just the minor details because spirituality is what we try to teach first of all. But it's funny because you see these parents that are not interested in ball playing at all until their child gets on the team. We've got a teacher in our school. He teaches 5th and 6th grade. And he's never been interested in sports except when he was playing softball. But now he's got a boy that plays on the team, a 6th grade boy, and he and his wife are at every game. You see what I'm saying? The things that we enjoy, the things that we like to do, we want to do those things. Now, I want to tell you, as a boy growing up in a preacher's home, I was made to go to church. Somebody said I had a drug problem. They drug me to Sunday school. They drug me to church. They drug me to Sunday night service. They drug me to Wednesday night service. In Arkansas, we had revivals every night somewhere on these gravel roads, dust just a flying, no air conditioning, no padded pews. And they drug me to all of those, too. I had a drug problem. And I want to tell you, I was lost for a long time. Till I was 11, that's a long time when you're under conviction for a couple of years. I felt like, I tell you, it's a long time. But at some point, I didn't resent it anymore. When the Lord saved me, I started enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? Johnny, you can identify with that, Tanya. All of us can identify with that. When the Lord saves you and His love is shed abroad in our hearts, then we begin to enjoy it, don't we? I told the people, I said, I've never been anywhere that the whole church, I believe, is as dedicated as this church right here. I'm honest with you. And Billy probably tells his church that. And I tell our church, we've got faithful people. We really do. I thank God for them. But this church right here is like a family. And I hope that our church is like that and your church is like that. Like a family. And when we miss, let me say this to you. When you miss, even if you have to work or you're sick, it hurts you spiritually, doesn't it? I've had to miss some time when I was sick or when I was in Bible college, worked second shift, and I couldn't go Wednesday night. But it did hurt me spiritually. But we ought to serve God, not just out of responsibility, although we ought to keep serving Him. If we're not enjoying it at the time, we ought to still serve Him out of responsibility. But I'm telling you, we ought to serve Him because we love Him. What do you owe God tonight? Let me ask you a question. Just think about it. What do we owe God? I owe Him everything. Is that what you owe Him? I owe Him everything. He's the reason I'm saved. He sent His Son to die in my place at Calvary. He went to Calvary, His Son did, and died that horrible death for me because God loved me and gave His Son to die in my place. What do I owe Him? I owe Him everything. Everything I have is because He's provided it for me. What a wonderful God. Why wouldn't anybody love God? And I tell you what, all church members don't love God. I don't believe that. Now, it may be here, but we got some I'm not sure about. And I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, you've got to love God. You can't help it. That love is shed abroad in your hearts, man, and I mean, you just can't contain it anymore. You can't contain it. While love should be the primary reason to be spiritual, surrendered, separated, studying the Word of God and serving, many times we do these things because of obligation and responsibility. Now, let me say this. The primary thing is that we ought to love God. The Bible teaches that. Jesus said that. You ought to love Me with all your heart, your mind, your soul. But if there are times when you're backslidden, If there are times when you're discouraged, if there are times when you're down and out, you still ought to serve God. I told our church Sunday, there was a time in my life when I was associate pastor, youth director, worked at leading singing, different things. When you're the pastor's son, you have to do whatever he says do, right? And there was a time in my life when I really wondered what God was doing in my life. I just didn't have it. You know what I'm saying? I did it out of responsibility and obligation. In fact, I even went through a period of depression. Now, you folks that know me, you say, I can't believe he was there. But I went through a period of depression in my life. I was associate pastor of the church. I was youth director. So what did I do? Well, here's what I did. I got up on Sunday morning, I got ready, and I went to church. I got my tithes and offerings ready, and I stood before young people, and I taught them the Word of God. Now, I didn't feel it, but I did it out of responsibility. You know what I'm saying? That was my responsibility. I didn't quit. I didn't back down. I didn't say, I can't do this anymore. I kept doing it because that was my responsibility. And my wife can tell you, but my dad and different preachers talked to me and they tried to, you know, fix it. But I didn't have it in my heart. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been there? But I kept doing what I was doing for the Lord out of responsibility. You know what happened? At some point, I had it in my heart again. And I loved God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and all of my soul. When did it happen? I can't tell you. I just kept doing what I was supposed to do because that was my responsibility. But God gave me my joy back. Wasn't lost. I was saved. But I just didn't feel it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't say that all of it's about feeling or emotions, but you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just feel like you're just going through the motions. Well, I tell people, don't quit coming to church. That's the worst thing you can do. Don't quit tithing, giving to God. That's bad. You shouldn't do that. When the song director gets up, get your songbook and act like you're enjoying it anyway. You know what I'm saying? I've told our people, I said, there's some times when my throat's sore and I don't feel good, but the choir director or music director gets up there and he opens the book, I open the book. Now, I move my mouth. I'm not singing anything because I got a sore throat, but I don't want people to know that I'm sick. So I smile and I sing the song quietly. They say that's the best song service they sing, have when I sing quietly. But because we love the Lord, I believe that we ought to be spiritual. Now, there's a difference between the carnal nature and the spiritual. The Bible tells us about that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and then chapter number 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, I like preaching first, that way you don't have to worry about it if that guy's getting on your message, right? He's got to worry about that. I'm going to cover all of it tonight, Brother Barry, so just pick your place there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. They got a lot of open spots, so they said we could just fill in that time. The Bible says in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but the natural man, we know that's the lost man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or understood is what that means. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When we're a child of God, we have the mind of Christ. We think as a Christian ought to think. Do you agree with that? Well, think differently when we're saved. Now listen, when Saul of Tarsus was saved, somewhere there on the Damascus Road, immediately he was changed. I believe when God saves people, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new, don't you? I know it changed for me. I mean, the sky didn't, you know, roar and rumble and all that kind of stuff and nobody hit me over the head. But all of a sudden, man, something was different. God did that. And the natural man doesn't understand these things. The lost man can't understand spiritual things. They're not going to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, and soul. They're not going to do that. Now, I don't know about your church, but in every church I preach in, almost without exception, there are people there that are natural man. They've not been saved. They don't have the mind of Christ. They don't love God with all their heart and their mind and soul. And sometimes, listen, sometimes we as preachers trying to get people to love God with all their heart, mind, and soul, they're not even saved. We're trying to get them to understand the Bible, and they're not saved. You can't understand the Bible until you're saved. And I'll go one further. This is what I think. I believe that you have to have scriptural New Testament baptism by a sound Baptist church in order to understand the Word of God. You say, well, why do these big-name preachers on the radio and TV and everything, they seem so practical and have such knowledge about something, but when they get on the church, the Lord's Supper, baptism, a sovereignty of God, they just go way off in left field. Well, they're not obedient to the Lord in scriptural New Testament baptism. I believe that with all my heart. I think it makes a difference. It really makes a difference. You should be spiritual. Paul, I believe, here wanted to address, and let's look at chapter 3, verse number 1. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." Listen, now these are saved people he's talking to. He said, "I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual people, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now, I don't understand this, for the life of me, why some people just really grow and some don't grow. I don't really understand that. We have sometimes new Christians in our church that they just really take off and grow, and they pass up some been saved a long time or made a profession a long time ago. But as unto carnal, Paul says, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, I believe the Apostle Paul loved these people. I believe he had them in his heart. He loved them. He wanted to help them. And he said, "I couldn't even speak unto you as spiritual people, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet are you now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for where there is among you envying and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Now, I have a hard time saying the word carnal Christian. I say a carnal saved person, a person that's got more of the world in them than they ought to have. And Galatians gives us some information about that. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. It tells us about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. But Paul said, I want to talk to you as spiritual people, but hey, I'm having to talk to you as little babes in Christ. You haven't grown. I've fed you with the milk of the Word, and you're carnal. You're carnal. Can a saved person be carnal? Absolutely. I understand from reading the New Testament that the Apostle Paul had trouble doing the right things. He wanted to, but he found himself doing wrong things. Do you ever find yourself like that? You know, sometimes we think that, I'll tell you what, lost people where you work, they know what a Christian is, don't they? They can tell you how you ought to act, what you ought to say, what your attitude ought to be, everything. They can tell you. And they'll tell you. They don't mind telling you. And it keeps us on our toes sometimes. Galatians chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 17. The Bible says this. In verse 16 it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's good admonition, instruction from the Word of God. In verse 17 it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." There's a constant warfare and battle going on, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're led by the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? You know what? We've been set free. We're no longer in bondage. We're not under the law. We're under grace. But I want to tell you, things under the law are still sin. Are they not? He came to fulfill the law. Not to do away with it, but to fulfill it. Now look, the works of the flesh are these. They're manifest, which are these. Adultery. That's abomination inside of God. Adultery is sin. It was sin in that day, and it's sin today. But we have people in our churches that kind of sugarcoat that. It's still sin today. God hates sin, doesn't He? Listen, fornication goes along the same line. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to me. A lot of these things that's mentioned are not just adultery and fornication. It's talking about dissension. It's talking about stirring up strife. It's talking about envy and all that. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. When that happens in the church, that's of the flesh and not of the Spirit. I've seen it happen in church. I've seen this. These people get upset and argue and fuss and all those kind of things. But when that happens, listen, note this. When that happens, when people are stirring up strife, when they're causing problems and revelings, all those kind of things, listen, that's of the flesh. That's not of the Spirit of God. There's a complete difference. And we can see it, can we not? Like he said, we can discuss the Scriptures, we can even disagree, but we can do it in a Christian manner. Churches can have meetings and they can discuss things and vote on it, and you may disagree, but we can do it in a Christian manner. Listen, so many churches have been hurt by so many people wanting their way instead of wanting the will of God. But here, let's go on to something more pleasant. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, I like this, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. That just sounds more pleasant, doesn't it? Fruit of the Spirit, talking about a child of God, being what God wants, being spiritual. Then we can enjoy the fruit here, love. I enjoy that. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now I will tell you, in church membership, the world out there ought to see the fruit of the Spirit. Where you work, where you live, your family, your friends, the places you frequent, the grocery store or whatever, gas station, whatever, they ought to see in us, they ought to see in us the fruit of the Spirit, hadn't they? Now I wish I could say that in every occasion they always see that in me, but they don't. But I'm trying to improve. And you know what I've learned? I've learned that when I don't act right, I need to go back and tell them I'm sorry and make it right. When I became pastor of the church, I grew up there the last few years of my teenage years, and my dad was the pastor, and I played ball with those guys and had some disagreements and different things, and we had some church problems and all that. And before the church called me, they were talking about calling me for pastor. I went to some people, and I said to them, you know, I haven't always acted right, and I haven't always had the right attitude, and I want to apologize for my attitude and my actions. And you know what? Without even some people that left our church mad at my dad, you know what they said? You didn't offend me. You don't owe me an apology. But I felt in my heart that I did. I was going to the platform on a Sunday morning. I was going to preach that morning. I was the pastor of the church. And there was a family sitting about halfway back on this side. And I knew the guy was upset at me. I had no idea why. But I couldn't go to the pulpit that morning without stopping by his pew. And I said to him, I said, sir, I have offended you. And if you'll tell me, I'll make it right. But I'm just telling you that I am sorry that I have offended you. And I couldn't go to the pulpit this morning without asking you to forgive me. Well, he didn't really overwhelmingly say, that's okay. But I did the right thing. You see, it's us that we need to examine. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. Right? And that's where we need to be. Now the question tonight is, do I love God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and with all of my soul? I think it's important to these children that are here that they see that in us, don't you? If we offend one of them, it'd be better that a millstone were hanging around our neck and we'd thrown in a river. Every day in our school, our Christian school, I walk the halls. And those kids see me. I'm the pastor. They see me and they know me. And I pray about my actions and my attitudes. And people that know me know that God has changed me because, man, when I was younger, I was redheaded, believe that or not, and I was freckle-faced, and I had a short temper. But God has a way of taking care of that. When I was growing up in a pastor's home, there were times that I wanted to get back at some people because of the way they had treated our family. But then God called me to pastor. He gave me a heart for those people that I pastor. And I don't want to get back at them. I want to help them. I want to love them. I want to pray with them. I want to go visit them when they're in the hospital. And I've even had some people leave our church that's mad at me, and I said, if you ever need me, you call me. And I said, if you ever want to come back, as long as you've not done anything to require church discipline, if you want to come back, you're welcome to come back. And if you have done something that requires church discipline, you can ask the church to forgive you, the Lord forgive you, and you can come back. You see, that's different than I used to be. But as I read the Bible, as I study the Bible, I want to be more like Christ. I don't want to have my way. I want the Lord to have His way. I want Him to be first place in people's lives. I want to be a better Christian. And while I've not attained all that I want to attain or achieve or accomplish in my heart, listen, this is the way we ought to feel. In my heart, I want to love God with all my heart. I want to love Him with all my mind. I want to love Him with all my soul. I want to love Him that way. That's my desire. Does my life please God? Am I studying my Bible daily? Am I enjoying my Christian life? If not, why? Is there anyone that I can't forgive? How much time do I spend in prayer? Am I trying to tell my friends about Jesus Christ and His power to save? Have I ever had a direct answer to prayer? Is there anything that I cannot give up for Christ? Just where am I making my greatest mistakes? How does my life look to those who are not Christians? How many things do I put before my church duties? Have I ever tried to give 1/10 of my income to the Lord or more? Is the world being made better or worse by my living in it? That's something to consider. Am I doing anything that I would condemn in other people? Do I realize that time is short and what I do for the Lord is really all that's going to last? God knows, doesn't He? He knows our heart. He knows me better than anybody. And yet He still loves me. And if God can love me, then I ought also to love you. If I know my heart, I do. I mean, we get together, it's just like a family reunion. And the good thing is this. In our church, in your church, in this church, there's some that going on ahead of us. But the good thing is we're going to be up there with them real soon. And guess what? We'll never, ever have to say goodbye. Is that good? My little grandmother was a Baptist. And she loved the Lord and she loved her family. There's a lot of preachers in our family, and she'd go to the store and she'd find shirts on sale, and she'd have a closet full of shirts and clothes and shoes and everything. And we'd go to the family reunion and she'd say, "All you preacher boys, go in there and pick out what you want." She took care of us. But you know who takes care of us every day of our lives? My wife and I drove here today. About 7 hours or so. And I'm telling you, that traffic out there is awful. But so many times, we've seen time after time that God has protected us and taken care of us and got us here safely. Then you have to. KJ, I want you to know this, that I want to love God with everything that's within me. And next to that, I want you guys to love God like that. I don't want to just say it. I want to live it. I want to practice it. But I want to see it be true in your lives too. You believe that? I do. Precious, precious people. You know what? Everything I find in the Bible that God says to us benefits us. It's for our good. Right out here, you got a bunch of preachers and preachers' wives. Isn't that good? You hate to lose them, but no better service than serving God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We want to love you more. I thank you for a good, sweet spirit that we feel in this place tonight. I believe I'm among people that have the same desire to love you with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul. And we thank you for all that you are and for all that you've promised and all that you are to us. And we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory because you alone are worthy. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Pastor.